Hello, wine lovers, and welcome to Taste, Fends, and Terroir with STC Wine Girl, the wine podcast that focuses on having fun and taking the guesswork out of picking a wine. I'm your host, STC Wine Girl, Shannon Carlson, owner and operator of Midwest Vino, LLC. Each week, we are going to select a wine, learn where it's from, how it's made, how it tastes, and maybe a few wine pairing options to go with it. So let's have some fun, find the wines that we like, and take the guesswork out of picking a wine. Let's go. This week's wine is the 2020 Kruger Rumpf Münsterer Düttenflanzer Riesling Spätlese. Looking at the bottle, it is long and slender. It has a dark blue label that has Kruger Rumpf in gold at the top, Düttenflanzer Riesling Spätlese 2020 at the bottom in white, and then in the center, it has a very pretty embossed coat of arms with the date 1708 surrounding it. Not really 100% sure just by looking at the label where this wine comes from. I can tell it does actually say Riesling, but if you're not familiar with this style of label, it might be a little confusing. If you turn the bottle over, it actually does tell you this is a wine from Germany and the growing region was Naha, and that the varietal is actually Riesling. So we know these things about the wine. We know this wine comes from Germany. So let's start there and find out what kind of Riesling is this. Germany is located in North Central Europe. It is located to the south of the North Sea and is surrounded by Belgium, France, Poland, Czechia, Austria, and Switzerland. It has over two millennia of history. In Germany, wines are broken down into three broad categories: Tafelwein, or basic wine; PGI, or what used to be called Landwein, or country wine; and then there is PDO wine. Within the PDO designation is the highest quality level designation called Prädikatswein. The wine we are trying today falls into this category. Within Germany, you have the Naha region. It's considered the smallest region in Germany. It is also the most geologically diverse. It follows the path of the Naha River, where it gets its name. And white wine grapes dominate 75% of the region, with Riesling accounting for 27.2% of it. The soils in this area are volcanic, which result in varied soils throughout the region. Soils in this region include sandstone, clay, limestone, and slate. You could have two vineyards next to each other, and both of them have different soil types. That's how geologically diverse this region is. And the soils where this particular wine comes from are made of slate soils. The climate in this region is temperate. The Naha River plays an active role in this. It helps to moderate the climate, so you rarely see frost in this area. While this region has 2,000 years of winemaking history, it is surprisingly one of the last wine regions in Germany to develop significant plantings. Within the Naha region is Kruger Rumpf. It is a small family winery that was founded in 1708. It is located roughly 50 kilometers away from Frankfurt and 50 kilometers to the west of the French border. The family grew and sold grapes until 1983, when Stefan Rumpf took the business over from his parents. In 1984, Stefan completely rebuilt the business, building a family winery, and the family started making their own wines. This family has been growing and selling grapes for hundreds of years, but the winery itself is so new. Today, the winemaker is Stefan's son, Georg Rumpf, who is a graduate of Geisenheim. Stefan's other son, Philip, is the sales engineer, so it's still truly a family-run business. The vines are planted in the Duttenflanze, Grosslage. And Grosslage means Grand Cru, which is a small piece of land and the Capellenberg vineyard. The vines were planted in the 1950s on south-facing steep 40% slopes between 100 and 200 meters, which equates to roughly 300 to 400 feet inside the valley of the Naha. The vineyard site is shaped like a giant amphitheater and is probably the warmest site located in the Naha. As mentioned earlier, the soils in this area are slate, and the family tries to utilize natural elements as much as possible. These things kind of include farming methods such as manure to fertilize and a herd of sheep to mow. Yeah, you heard me correctly. They use sheep in the vineyard to graze on steep terraces. The family believes in taking a holistic approach to winemaking. This is actually smart, as the terrace slopes are difficult and quite dangerous to maintain with equipment. They still harvest by hand to protect the land, as heavy machinery can actually damage the soil. When it's warranted, equipment has been added to the vineyard. An example of this is a special caterpillar they use to climb up and down the mountain. This was added to increase safety, as they no longer have to carry large baskets filled with grapes on their backs manually up the hill. I mean, think about that for a second. When you have a terraced slope that looks like a giant amphitheater and you're hand harvesting all of these grapes, getting them up and down the side of these terraces can be quite dangerous. So using equipment like the caterpillar is quite a smart and wise investment. This wine is a Spätlese, which means that it is a late harvest wine. The term refers to the level of sweetness in the wine. You know, as mentioned, this wine is considered a Prädikatswein, and Prädikatswein is broken down into 6 subcategories by level of sweetness. The terms used for these levels, from driest to sweetest, are Cabernet, Spätlese, Auslese, Bärenauslese, Eiswein, and the sweetest of them all, Trockenbärenauslese. An easy way to tell how sweet the Riesling you are picking out is by looking for one of these terms, and it's also by looking at the alcohol by volume percent. If the alcohol by volume percent is high, the drier it will be, and most likely will say a term like cabinet. For example, 7% to 8.5% is going to equate to a fruity or sweet wine. 9% to 10.5% is considered off dry. And 11% to 14% is considered dry. The wine we are trying today is 8%, so it is considered sweet. This wine is 100% Riesling. Riesling is typically not blended with other varietals, especially high premium Riesling. And as mentioned earlier, the grapes for this wine were hand harvested. Normally, white wine production is used for a wine like this, but in this particular wine, fermentation is entirely in old wooden barrels. They let the wine mature on full yeast for a long time without any bétonnage. And if you've never heard the term bétonnage, that means stirring up the wine yeast. This method of allowing the wine to mature on full yeast for a long time is going to add complexity to the wine, but they don't want to stir it because that adds that creaminess that they're not looking for when it comes to this type of Riesling. They will allow the fermentation to go along until the sugar hits around 70 grams per liter. then they're going to stop it. And they're going to stop it by racking from barrel to barrel. Most Kruger Rumpf wines are designed to age, and this wine is no exception. All right, we've talked about where this wine comes from, who makes it. It's time to open the bottle, pour a glass, and actually try it. The wine itself has a screw top cap, so it makes it really easy to open up and pour. I'm going to serve my wine around 7 to 10 degrees Celsius or 45 to 50 degrees Fahrenheit. I want it cold, but I don't want it so cold that I don't get to enjoy the aromatics and all of the flavors that I know this wine is going to have. If I look at this wine, it's clear, pale lemon yellow. So it's got a little bit of a color to it, but it's not such a dark color that it looks golden or a deep lemon. It's just pale. If I smell this wine, wow, it's really aromatic. Rieslings are known for a particular scent that is kind of reminiscent of diesel fuel or gasoline, or sometimes it's called petrol. This may not sound like a good component in a wine. I mean, who wants to go around smelling gas all day? But it is a definer for Riesling. You will get that a lot of times on Riesling, and it's not a bad smell, especially when it's mixed with other components, as it is in this wine. This wine, I also smell aromas of lemon and apples. I also get some dried herbs and even slate. So when you mix all those together, it really makes for an aromatic complexity in a wine that just is, it makes it intriguing and you just want to try it. So I say we taste this wine. Oh my gosh. Wow. My mouth is just bursting. Whoa. When you taste this wine, I just want to swallow repeatedly because the amount of flavor that just bursts in your mouth. I get flavors of, you really don't taste the petrol, that diesel fuel that I was talking about. I mean, you'll get it. There's a hint that you'll get it and you'll taste it, but there's just so many other flavors that are bursting on this wine. I get lemon and lime, pears. I get juicy green apple. And I kind of feel like I get white flowers, like almost like a jasmine is what I kind of feel, kind of taste. And then I also get really nice minerality. You know, those juicy green apples bring such a nice acidity to this wine. That, and it's even interesting too, because I get honey on top of that. So I get this sweetness mixed with the acidity. And this wine, it's, you know, we talked about it being pale lemon, but so it looks really light, but there's a body to this wine that you just go, wow, there is so much going on in the glass. It's just, it's complex and, well, just delicious. It's just absolutely delicious. I could drink this wine completely by itself. If I think about food, which me personally, I tend to like wines that are drier. So I would probably pair this wine with food and not drink it completely by itself. But absolutely, like in the summertime, well chilled, this wine would be, I would be all over this wine. If I think about food pairings, I'm going to say some sort of pork or chicken. I think this wine would go amazing with scallops or even a really spicy Thai or sushi dish, because that sweetness and that acidity would help to balance with the Thai or with that spicy dish. I also think this would be wonderful in the summer with a fruit salad that has strawberries and cantaloupe or even pineapple in it. You know, sometimes we think about the fruits when you have a wine that's this expressive with the acidity, but also with that sweetness, to pair it with fruits that also have some acidity to them. I think it would offset and balance very nicely. You're not going to overwhelm your palate too much. Ah, this wine is just beautiful. I love how diverse Riesling is. I mean, it doesn't matter if you prefer sweet or dry style wines. There is a style of Riesling for every palate. It's a fun wine to try because you get to try all these different styles and find the one that you like. And quite frankly, I've never tried a Kruger Rumpf that I didn't like. So have fun doing that. To close out today, we talked about the ins and outs of Kruger Rumpf. We broke down Germany and the region of Nahe. We learned about winemaker Georg Rumpf and the team who make this wine. We talked about how this wine was made from the vine to the bottle. And most importantly, we talked about how it looks, tastes, and smells. Let me know if you have had this wine, and if you did, what you thought of it. I would also love to hear your feedback on future wines you would like to know more about. Go to Taste, Vins, and Terroir with STC Wine Girl on Buzzsprout.com to find my contact information. You can also contact me on my website, MidwestVino.com. I put links to both in the description. If this wine sounds interesting to you and you would like to know more about Kruger Rumpf Winery, you can check out their website, www.krugerrumpf.com. I'll add a link to them in the description as well. If you liked this episode, make sure to hit the follow and click the notification icon so you don't miss future episodes. Join me next week as we select a new wine, learn where it's from, how it's made, how it tastes, and above all, have fun finding wines we like. See you next week, wine lovers. Cheers! Or as they say in Germany, Prost!